This is Sexploration with Monica, and
we have Dr. Amy Cooper. She's written the Everything Orgasm book, and you know, it's about, you know, orgasms on all the different levels, the emotional levels, the physical levels, you know, the physiological things that are going on, your hormones, there's hormone cascades, oxytocin. It's a very, orgasm is a complex little nut, and we're going to try to crack it.
All right.
You ready?
Let's do it.
Let's,
yeah.
Coming
let's
on the
crack
program.
That little nut.
Let's.
So let's start out with connecting with a partner, because I think some of the things that can be really kind of freaky. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's easy to maybe have an orgasm by yourself.
Sure.
But when you're there in front of another person, it can be somewhat daunting.
Right.
To
yeah.
Connect with yourself. You
definitely.
Know?
So. That's a big thing. I write a lot about the relationship in the book. It's essential. And it's very important for the relationship to, for the most part, feel good. And for different people, that means different things. Some people really need there to be a real sense of commitment. And oftentimes, you know, the safety is so important as well.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody necessarily needs that. Some people are very, you know, fine being with, you know, somebody in a one night stand, and they feel safe with that person for whatever reason. And that can work too. So, you know,
for the moment.
Right.
Right.
It doesn't, you know, it's
sure.
different for everyone.
Whatever
but
works
for
you.
The most part, mm-hmm. in the work that I've done with the survey that I did, it does seem that having a secure relationship really does improve people's experience of orgasm over time. So that's
now,
key.
You did a survey with your book.
Right, right.
Tell me more about that survey.
I wanted to see what people had to say. I was looking for people's input about their experiences with orgasm, and I had a lot of questions, and so I did an online survey, and I sent out a massive email to people, friends and their friends, and,
mm-hmm.
and got a lot of feedback from people. And I wanted things that I wanted to hear about that I wasn't finding in books were things like, what does orgasm mean to people? You know, what is the meaning of orgasm for you? And then I also wanted a lot of people's just personal accounts, like their personal narratives of what their experience of orgasm was, both sort of their qualitative experience of it and the different kinds of routes they take to orgasm, what seems important. And so I got a lot of information, and it was fascinating actually to hear, especially with people's meanings for orgasm.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
What is the meaning of orgasm?
Well, it's.
I mean, I suppose it would differ for everyone.
Exactly, and I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of the same. You know, some people have several meanings as well. One main one, of course, obvious, is just sexual release, sort of a release of pent up energy, a physical.
The crotch sneeze.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so that's very common for people. But then there's also the merging of energies with a lover and the weaving of their energies together a declaration of love and commitment.
That sense of release, and that you go into that no mind space and you're
right.
sharing energy, and it's
right.
all this, right, okay.
Right. And then some people take it beyond that, just beyond their partner, and it's a sense of merging with, you know, all that is, oneness,
the divine,
exactly.
Right.
So that came up for quite a few people too. And then for some people, it's not always a positive thing.
Orgasm isn't?
No.
Okay.
Well, it usually is a positive experience, but there
right.
can be sort of, some people have a slightly negative reaction to it because it means the culmination of the lovemaking. And
oh,
so,
it's the end.
Right. It's the end. So there can be, that can bring up feelings of sadness and regret that the lovemaking experience is over.
Mm.
If somebody, you know, has issues with orgasming before they're ready,
right.
that can be an issue.
Stressful,
right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really is.
And working so
thing.
Hard to come sometimes, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
in that horrible race
yeah.
of like, okay, you have to come really quick because he's
oh,
almost gone. Try to get. And
right.
then you get a cramp.
Yeah. Or, you know, you have all this buildup and then the actual experience isn't really what you.
At you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It wasn't what you were hoping for,
right.
you know, it's just kind of like, so yeah, it's different. And, but for the most part, you know, the experiences were like, yes, it's a
mm-hmm.
great thing.
And there are exercises that you can do to make your orgasms more intense.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There are physical exercises that you can do. And I focus a lot when I work with, well, in the workshops that I do and with couples on helping them learn how to build arousal more. If you're a couple that's been together for a while, one of the main issues is that you're so comfortable with each other and you feel so safe and connected and merged that you don't have much excitement. You know, there's not that fear. Right, exactly. So what I'm mostly working with these couples is how to build arousal more. So we focus a lot on different kinds of erotic play and even erogenous zone stimulation, getting more into sensual bodies, learning how to relax into each other more. Breathing is really important. I mean, you'll hear, I have done some tantra, it's not my specialty, but I found that coaching couples on how to breathe more and really fill and oxygenate
themselves. Not hold your breath.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Sensate focus is another big one for a lot of people because we spend so much time in our heads that we sometimes, that's where our focus is. And mind you, the brain and the mind is an incredible erogenous zone. And if you can really work that into it, then that can do tremendous things for arousal. But it's also really important to just really be able to drop in to your body and the sensations in your body. And the more that you can do that, the more of you is on board for arousal, basically.
Mm. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier with Marcy Prohofsky of the Orgasmic Kitchen, how you can use food and play to really get people to get into their body so they can feel what's going on. So they're not in their head. So they're actually feeling the sensations on their body.
Right, exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah. And in our culture, it's, I think, We are in such a productive culture and slowing down is big for people. You know, it's learning how to just slow down in their lives, learning how to transition from that worker bee mode to sensual mode and in, you know, connected to body, connected, you know, to, you know, each other as well. And learning how to like really listen to each other and merge into first your own body and mind and then another body mind. And in a sensual way. So I often have to really have couples examine how they can do that in their lives more. Like what are...
How they can tune into each other.
Yeah, and slow down.
It's difficult. It's difficult to do that because that's a reoccurring thing that we've been discussing on the show, especially when it comes to obtaining like a full body orgasm or whatever, is that people in their lives, like you said, are busy, worker bees. And we have a culture where you're supposed to keep yourself busy. And if your schedule is impacted with school and work and some extracurricular activities, then you're lazy. And that's a whole different discussion, but people do pack their schedules. And so they're always buzzing from one place to the next. Got to hop in my car and drive over here. And then I got to start this project. And then
how can you connect with your partner when you're so busy?
Right. Yeah. When you're in that mode, you're constantly in that mode. And then when you get some time to relax, it's for yourself. It's to go to sleep and what little time you have. And then not to mention the fact that we have cell phones and laptops and TV. And that only adds to the mentality of multitasking, doing a bunch of things at once and not slowing down and taking your time and focusing on one particular thing.
Right. So one example of an exercise that I offer to couples is to actually spend time, usually I have couples with me so I can, you know, demonstrate.
You can pretend Anthony and I are a couple.
Yes.
We're not, but we can pretend.
Okay, so basically what I would have you do, and it could be either one, but oftentimes it tends to be the man who's, I like to trade off a little bit, but the man, if it's a hetero couple, it really doesn't matter who is in back, but have one person be the supporter in back, and leaning against something, propped up with pillows in a comfortable position, and the other person leaning against them and sitting in between the legs, leaning against them, and just breathing together. Mm. And actually spending time like this, listening to music, reading, touching, stroking, sharing, talking, possibly watching TV if you really, you know, if you're going to watch TV anyway.
Feeling supported by each other.
Right, exactly. And just to let yourselves melt into each other like that.
How sweet.
Yeah.
Are they supposed to get their breathing in sync or something?
You know, it's you know, you can stress about that because not everybody actually has the same breathing rhythm. Mm. Some people really can do this easily, but some people it's very challenging because sometimes somebody's just a shallow breather and they haven't So if you can, great. If it happens naturally, mostly both people try and relax as deeply as they can.
If they can, is that something you want them to shoot for? And what exactly does that do?
There can be a sense of merging that happens with that when you get to that place. And it can help you relax even more deeply. But I always hesitate to have people strive for something that's that might be unattainable. You know, it's like, right. I say, you know, start there. If that happens and that's something that really feels like it works for you, great. But don't stress about needing it to be this way, because, you know, honestly, there are so many different paths to connecting and orgasm.
Right.
Right.
And the point with sexuality is being where you are and really right. sensing into that rather than like trying to have a goal and right. really going for your goal,
right.
especially some unattainable goal, like orgasm or breathing at the same time or whatever.
Trip out about that. Oh no, we can't get our breathing in sync. That must mean right. we're not meant
to
be.
Or like trying to have simultaneous right. orgasms or something.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
that's really hard.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah. Just, you know, when it happens, just take it as a gift. And,
that's right.
Yeah. And I mean, every orgasm is different and unique, and every orgasm is good, and you just have to welcome it and accept it
right.
for what it is.
Right. Even the ones that are preceded shortly yeah. by bonking your head on the headboard.
Right. Exactly. Or the little,
you just kind of laugh.
Okay.
And go, I think I just had an orgasm. I'm not really sure.
Right.
Let's have a cuddle.
Right. Exactly. There we go. And enjoy
cool.
the cuddle.
So let's talk about erogenous zones. I'm imagining that there's more than we would think of.
Sure.
Do we want to talk about which ones we can think of so far? I mean, there's genitals, there's necks. Nipples. Nipples are in an erogenous. Okay, wrists.
Oh, yeah.
Are an erogenous
wrists
zone.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever bitten anyone's wrists, Anthony?
No, I've never bitten anyone's wrist.
It's good. It can be effective in some women, I think.
Uh-huh. The earlobe is an erogenous zone.
Earlobe ding, ding,
ding,
can
ding,
be.
Ding. Mm-hmm. Ding, ding, ding. Big points.
Back of the knee, inside of the elbow.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever bitten somebody's back of the knee?
I think I probably have.
Licking the back of the knee.
Yeah, I've definitely licked the back of the knee.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, so erogenous zones is, I love erogenous zones. This is one of my specialties. I have a workshop that I do just on erogenous zones. I've been a body worker for 15 years, and so I have explored the body, you know, parts, and so I know the sensitive areas, and of course I've done my own exploration as well. There are actually two types of erogenous zones that many people don't know about. I'll just throw it out there. It's just sort of the science behind it. It's there are specific erogenous zones and non-specific erogenous zones. And the specific zones are the areas that are mucous membraney, kind of close to the mucous membrane. So that would be the genitals, the anus.
Oh, the inside of the mouth.
The mouth. And actually the eyes, the eyelids. This is something I had no idea.
Oh, wow.
Yes. The eye, not the eyelids actually, but the, I can't remember the name of it. There's an anatomical name for the film that covers the eye, but you can access it by touching the eyelids. And I was blown away. Yes. If you are aroused and you have your eyelids licked, it can be extremely
erogenous. The outside of the eyelid.
Wow.
Right. Just right on top of the eyeball.
Interesting.
I'll have to try that one.
It's pretty sexy.
If you're aroused.
Yeah, there are some erogenous zones that tend to work better when you're already aroused.
Got it.
Right. And
imagine if someone's like, okay, close your eye.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
you're
that
like,
might not work.
In what context is this?
Yeah, it has to be the right context. So, and then there are non-specific erogenous zones, which are the areas on your body that are... where the nerves, there are more nerve endings possibly, or the nerves are closer to the skin.
Mm.
And these are the areas, a lot of the ones that you mentioned, like the neck, the ears.
Nape the neck.
Right.
Right.
The forearms, the wrists, and the inside of the arms. The thorax, actually, is another one. The sides of the torso.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one.
Oh, right. The tickle spots.
Right. And also sometimes, this is something I didn't read about, but it's kind of known that sore muscles or tight muscles can be very erogenous.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They like shoulders.
Oh, right.
Thighs, if you have really sort of tight, you know, if you build up tension in your thighs.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there's just, they often like, you know, like to be bitten or that kind of pressure. And, you know, of course, different erogenous zones want different kinds of stimulation. So I love going into like, oh, okay, what works for, you know, these different areas? What wants to be, you know, tickled, caressed, licked, nibbled, you know, versus bitten or slapped or.
Right.
Right. So.
Because you can't really slap someone on their eyelid, obviously.
No, exactly. Well, you could. You never know. Yeah. Some people might be into that.
Have you ever tried it?
I don't think it. True. Exactly.
Actually, no.
There we go.
Slap your boyfriend in his eyelid next time.
I don't think
he
I'm going to.
Yeah.
I don't think he would like that.
Maybe tapping.
Right. I'm going to work up to maybe licking his eyelid at some point.
Right.
I'm going to try that one. I don't know about anything else.
There's another thing about erogenous zones. There's a couple of the Bodanskis who wrote a couple of books and about. Basically connecting erogenous zones in your body. So in a sense, like letting, evolving your erogenous zones. So you may start with just like specific erogenous zones, you know, your genitals, your nipples, and your mouth. But then as you're aroused and more areas are stimulated, you can actually start to build connections and other areas you start to associate as erogenous because you're already aroused and your lover did something on your neck. And next time, maybe he goes to do something on your neck. Whereas before, you didn't really have that connection. Now that you've been aroused and he's done this, like, oh, amazing thing, he goes right for your neck. And you're like, oh, my God. Then it goes like zoom straight down.
So you can actually build sensation by connecting the two pleasures.
Right, exactly. So the mind is very tied in because the whole arousal and orgasms are all from, you know, it's about the nervous system primarily. Mm-hmm. And if you're interested, I'd love to talk more about that. This is information that I think a lot of people aren't even aware of. It's just like physiologically what's going on in the body. Mm-hmm. And that is, initially it's the nervous system. Mm-hmm. And there's some stimulation that's, erotic that the mind says, oh, okay, that's erotic stimulation. It could be mental. It could be physical. Sometimes it's actually not even intended to be erotic. You could be on a motorcycle and there's just vibration and you're like, whoa. Mm-hmm. But you're, you know, there's some stimulation of genitals and then that shoots up to the brain. And and then what happens is that the brain gets the message and it triggers the endocrine system, which is the hormones
that
basically
hormonal
and
cascade.
That sends out exactly it sends out chemicals and then there are all kinds of other your other systems in your body start to respond. So your cardiovascular system basically there's a process called vasocongestion, which is when the pelvic floor the
blood flow.
The veins constrict, so the blood stays in the pelvis, so more blood keeps flowing there, but then it can't leave, so then you get. And then also the muscles, the musculoskeletal system, there are hormones that say relax, you know, basically relax. Oh. So, and as your tissues relax, that makes more space for more blood and more pooling.
Right.
And then this is the fun thing that happens is that once you have that, that stimulation, that cascading already going on, then the nervous system again gets triggered by the buildup of blood, the pressure, and then that triggers the nervous system to like, oh, send more of those hormones. So it just becomes this positive loop.
Feedback.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the arousal just builds and builds until hopefully, you know, you have some sort of, peak experience, orgasmic experience.
Right.
Right.
So how do you have this section called the do-re-mi of orgasm in your book.
Right.
What is that about?
Okay, let's see. The do-re-mi was, I think that's all about, that's the physiology. That's
hormonal cascade?
Right. Some of what I was just talking about. And I also talk about the anatomy, some of the sexual anatomy that a lot of people aren't aware of. Most people know about the male genitals. They know about the scrotum and the penis pretty well. They know like what areas are sensitive and, but there's still the vulva has still been a bit of a mystery to a lot of people. And the clitoris, for example, when I discovered this, it just changed my world. And that is that a
when
lot
you
of
discovered
people,
the clitoris.
Well, not just just how big the clitoris is, actually,
right.
Because it's
huge.
Not just that tiny little nub that a lot of people think, you know, at the top. It actually has legs that go down and are under the surface of the labia, the inner labia. So there are bulbs that actually fill up with blood that are connected to the clitoris. So so the tissue of the clitoris is actually very extensive.
And that's the crura?
The crura, exactly, which means legs, right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the vestibular bulbs, another, you know, scientific
vestibular
term.
Bulbs.
Yeah.
Is that also part of the clitoris?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Right. So, and there's a chart in the book that shows that. And, you know, it's newer information and a lot more books and things are going to be showing that.
And you actually talk about how to tune your instrument, like how to tune, I imagine, your genitals. Oh, is that the the sensation where you can actually like connect the two spots orgasmically?
No, not in that chapter. I have the tuning was actually a metaphor for I used in the book for the body being like an instrument.
I see.
So I use that metaphor a lot. So when I'm talking about tuning the body-mind instrument, it's more a matter of just really paying attention to all the different parts mm-hmm. and being able to address all of these different pieces so that you can have a richer, more fuller experience. Because we're all kind of in different places and there are different areas that might be needing to be tuned in different individuals. So, mm-hmm. And the body mind is a big one. And a lot of people don't even consider that, you know, this is where, I'm considering your health, your fitness, your mind frame,
your
mental state and
whether or not you can sleep.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then your basic ideas about what sex is, whether or not you have any shame.
Whose job it is to make you come.
Right. Exactly.
It's my job.
That's right. Well, see, then the thing is when it's like someone else's job to make you come, sometimes it can be like, there can be resentment if it's not working.
Right.
And then you're not really like if I say, okay, we're co-creating my orgasm. Like uh-huh. if there's something I can do to make myself feel more pleasure, mm-hmm. I'm not like taking it away from my partner if I do it myself. No. I'm just adding to my own pleasure.
Right.
And that way, like he or she could right. be, you know, up to their eyeballs and all sorts of things that they're doing, but I could be doing one more thing.
Right. Exactly.
You know, like I shouldn't be embarrassed to do something more better.
Oh, definitely not. Yeah, I am an advocate for self-pleasuring with and without your partner there. And I say, I mean, your partner hopefully will want to assist in your arousal and orgasm. And if not, then you should look at that and probably do some counseling around that. However, ultimately, everyone is responsible for their own arousal and orgasm. And and that means not necessarily that you have to always do it yourself or mm-hmm. be responsible with your own hand, mm-hmm. but that means communicating about what your needs are mm-hmm. and, or, you know, working with your partner to discover what will work, you know, trying new things and saying, let's try this. Maybe this will work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it means, yeah, okay. I think I need to do, you know, man or woman, my clitoris,
right. Right.
so that I can have an orgasm now because mm-hmm. whatever it's, I need to do that. Mm-hmm. And most women actually do need some clitoral stimulation in order to orgasm. So
I heard it was something like only 10% could have an orgasm without clitoral stimulation.
Right.
And then 75% of women can have orgasms. But need clitoral stimulation, and then 10% of women haven't had an orgasm yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so it seems mm-hmm. like, you know, we need to be talking about orgasms.
Oh, yeah.
A lot more.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So you have some stuff in your book about how to have more intense orgasms. How do you build mm-hmm. the intensity?
So there are various practices that people do, and I'm not really sure. So there are different ways to have intense orgasm. So there's mm-hmm. A lot of it's about building arousal. And I talked about that a little earlier,
mm-hmm.
but there are practices that people do. There's actually BDSM is one example, power exchange.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people who play in that realm claim to have really intense orgasms.
Mm.
And it's because it's so much about building arousal. There's so much foreplay. Almost everything they do is about stimulating and building arousal.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also this element of trust that's going into the relationship of surrendering. When you can completely surrender control and you're letting someone else do the pleasuring and mm-hmm. the stimulation, that's a very vulnerable thing for mm-hmm. both people, really, because the person who's taking charge might feel vulnerable because they're having to perform so mm-hmm. much, and they really want to create a good experience for you. And then the person who's, you know, submitting control is vulnerable because they're submitting control, you know.
Right.
So.
But sometimes that can be a really safe thing, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. And of course, we all know that the person on the bottom is always the one ultimately in control.
That's right. Because they have safe words. And right. if they're not happy, then the scene does not continue.
Right. 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 So they often have very intense, both physiological responses and orgasm, but also emotional or, intensity. Mm-hmm. So that's one sort of, I call it a practice. And then Tantra is the other one. Mm. Expansive orgasms. I mean, there people call it different thing, but Tantra is pretty popular, so we'll just go with Tantra. And that the practices that they do, to some degree, it's a little bit of polarity. So it's a little bit of power exchange, actually. It's a little bit of playing with masculine and feminine polarity. So it is a little bit more about the feminine being receptive, mm-hmm. and the masculine kind of stepping into the more, dominant or directing sort of role. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of work on breathing, focusing on breathing and sensate focus and getting into your body more as well. So any kind of usually intensity comes with both building arousal, spending a lot of time connecting and feeling the merging and the safety and the trust, as well as building the excitement. Mm-hmm. So it's those two things. When you can increase safety, trust, and increase excitement, it usually intensifies the experience of orgasm.
And it seems like if you want to build more pleasure, mm-hmm. one thing to do is to be aware of your pleasure. Mm-hmm. Like to use, mm-hmm. To use your mind, not to be thinking about anything else, mm-hmm. but to be using your mind to think about what you're experiencing in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. Yeah. I think that's incredibly powerful. Just being with the sensation in mm-hmm. the moment. And you can use, personally, and I've talked to other people who are able to really get aroused through their thoughts alone and through not just thoughts, but actually focusing on erogenous zones so much so that they just start to feel the pleasure and start to relax more into the pleasure of
right.
their genitals. And
so they're not even stimulating themselves. Yeah. They're just feeling into that area right. and feeling the sensation of those cells being alive.
Right. Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's an amazing practice
right.
to focus on that. No touching, just
right.
bringing your awareness to the sensation in your genitals mm. and the warmth, the vibration,
mm-hmm.
and just keep relaxing into that and opening into that.
That's kind of like yeah. a sexy Vipassana meditation, exactly. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's talk more about self-pleasuring with greater satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
You have a chapter called Practicing Alone or Playing Solo.
Mm-hmm.
And
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that in our culture, we think masturbation is bad, and even masturbation means to disturb or defile with the hand. And
oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think masturbation or self-pleasuring, as I think it's more correctly called, mm-hmm. is just one of those ways to give yourself pleasure. You know, it teaches you how to have more pleasure. It teaches you how to focus on your sensation. It seems
right.
so good.
It is good. It is good. And, sometimes people just need a sexual release, and that's fine. And they mm-hmm. just go straight for the genitals to release whatever the energy is. But I
frustration.
Frustration. Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, there's a lot of things in this world that,
yeah.
Sometimes you're not really on page with.
Right.
Right. You might as well squirt it out your wang, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Rather than, having some sort of heart attack about it. Right,
right, exactly. And that's important. That's definitely important.
Planet
but
Earth.
Then, there's also just the loving yourself, spending time, caressing yourself. I suggest for people who actually are experiencing frustration, a good practice would be to breathe more with the pleasure of the feelings and to hold. So you can, that's for me, it's like, I'm trying to increase the amount of arousal I can hold in my body without needing to release it.
Without needing to
right.
come yet.
Exactly.
Cool.
Right.
Because it builds it more and more.
Because I actually, as a woman, I get frustrated too. And so
sure.
I know I'm not a man, so I can't say that I have had that degree of frustration. But I have been frustrated before, and I know what that feels like, and it's not fun.
All right. Now I don't feel so alone.
And, the different thing is that I am a woman, that I know that if I really want it, I can get it. And it's a little
right.
bit easier for women, unfortunately,
to find a partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to find somebody with, who I can actually have
an
encounter
with. There's always yourself.
And there's
God.
Myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If you can't have Wang, you can always have pussy.
Yes, exactly.
Hooray!
Yay! So, but breathing, you know, really breathing deeply into it and hold it and just letting that energy move throughout my body, and start to welcome in the big sensations of that arousal.
Mm.
And rather than, and what can happen then is it starts to spread rather than it really, you know, needing to like just release it, you know.
So you're building your arousal, feeling mm-hmm. your pleasure, trying to not have an orgasm, and you feel like it goes all over your body that way?
Right, exactly. Yeah, my whole body can awaken alive, and other people have these experiences too.
Hmm.
Is that somebody at the door?
I'm not expecting anyone, but.
Should I go check?
Are you willing to? Yeah, why I mean, not? It might be something for Antithesis Radio that's coming on at 10 o'clock.
Right,
right now, we are talking with Dr. Amy Cooper about her Everything Orgasm book. We're talking about self-pleasuring and erogenous zones and how to have more intense orgasms. In fact, in just a few moments, I want to talk about putting your body where the mouth is.
Oh.
some oral paths to pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the sensuality of playing solo,
right?
And really how to play with yourself in a pleasurable way,
right,
rather than just having a crotch sneeze.
Exactly. Spend more time caressing yourself. I have like a whole ritual that I like to encourage people to do, and that is like to bathe, to actually get into a relaxed place, and then to spend time looking at yourself in the mirror and just admiring, acknowledging your beauty, whatever you see there that is beautiful, and then really spending time just caressing and feeling your self-love, and tease yourself, you know, rather than going straight for your erogenous zones, your genitals, and
Teasing yourself and sort of talking dirty to yourself kind of a good trick,
right? And play around with different body positions. You know, there's a way that we can get stuck into ruts with ourselves too, right? So explore, like maybe don't even be in the bed, maybe stay in front of the mirror, you know. And
that's right,
right?
I'm done sorry, it. You've done it,
done it, uh-huh. done it, been there, done that.
I remember doing that when I was in college, actually.
Oh my God, I just did it for the first time recently, and I thought it was like news.
Oh, wow.
It's like, I was standing up masturbating in front of the mirror. Has everyone tried this? And everyone's like, yes. I'm like, it's so good. And they're like, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So who knew?
So let your fantasies sort of like move your body, you know? So if you, you know, let your body move around and let your body, you know, also influence your fantasies too. Like the kinds of positions you say, oh, wow, yeah, that reminds me of, you know, like up against a wall, for example, that can be really hot.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, right. Take it out of the bed, you know, do.
Have fun with yourself.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it can really build up the heat for your own.
Videotape it. Put it on the internet.
There we go.
You could. Make a few bucks
for you. Sure.
I'm just kidding. I would never do that. I'm just suggesting.
So let's.
For other people, mainly girls.
You want to talk about oral sex, Anthony?
What about it?
It's good. Put your body where my mouth is. Oral paths to orgasm.
I have to credit my partner for that title.
It's nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
I love it.
Put your body
sex.
Where my mouth is.
Right. Exactly.
And someone was recently invited me to. They used the F word, but they said, you know, F my face. And I was like, I've never even thought of that. Like a woman could F a guy's face. Interesting. Because I mean, usually you think of like the woman always reclining, but there's a lot of different things.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Certainly hadn't occurred to me, but hey, sure. Why not?
I love oral sex. I love giving it. I think I've given more oral sex than I've received.
Really?
Yeah, I love it. It's very intimate. A woman lets
it
you
really is.
Down. Yeah. And I've had some women who won't let me. And it's always a curiosity. Like, is it because they're insecure about maybe how they smell down there?
Sure.
Were they traumatized as a kid and they don't like anybody to go down there in that way because it brings back bad memories or what? But, you know, on occasion, some girl will just be like, I'm not into having that done to me, which blows my mind because I would never deny someone the opportunity to go down on me.
Right. Right.
Well, I mean, it can be different. I mean, I'm sure it depends on the woman. I mean, I think it definitely could be she feels insecure and doesn't want someone to know how she feels or tastes or smells or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then also, you know, there can be some, like, if you're not a good communicator, which sometimes as a woman, it can be really hard to communicate about what feels good and what really actually is too sensitive. Like sometimes guys can really get kind of now everyone's like, know where the clitoris is. So then guys can get really too clitoris focused.
Right.
And then they're like hammering away at your clitoris. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. And you're just like, oh my God.
Right, right.
You're like, actually, I don't.
Yeah.
Another thing.
Stop.
Another thing that it could be or it has been, I think, which is a peculiar to me, is that I will sort of start seeing somebody, mm-hmm. and the relationship will fizzle out maybe after a couple of weeks or maybe a couple of months. But as far as banging, like actually having intercourse, like penis to vagina intercourse, mm-hmm. that's fine with them. But going down on them is a little too intimate.
It's,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it can be pretty intimate.
But doesn't that seem sort of backwards? Like you would let somebody go down on you before you would bang them? Like, isn't that the order of intimacy in terms of sexual?
Everyone is different.
The sexual right, ladder. You
know? Right. Some people think kissing is much more intimate than sex. Right.
There's like porn stars who'd be like, oh, I'll bang every guy in this room, but I won't kiss any of them because that's too intimate for me.
Right. Well, you know, everyone's different.
Yeah. And I would say if you're with somebody who's, who doesn't feel comfortable with any kind of behavior and you're curious about that probably the approach would be in a non-pressuring way to ask, why is that?
Yeah, later on, open up the lines of communication.
Yeah. And certainly a lot of women in particular, and some men need to just set their boundaries and know that they're going to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
And probably chances are she hasn't had a positive experience with it before. So she doesn't know that, you know,
it could be good.
It can be good. Right. Mm-hmm. And not everybody is.
And if it's boring, you don't have to put up with it for too long.
Right, right. And some people just want to enjoy the ride. They don't want to have to communicate play by play what needs to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes communication is better. What I often suggest for couples and people is to have sometimes when you're with your lover, where actually you're learning about each other's bodies.
Right. That's right.
And you're setting the time aside to actually ask questions. And does this, what do you like this? What do you think?
Some people are apprehensive about that because they have it backwards and they think that by talking about it while you're doing it takes away from the moment. Whereas in fact, it's actually the opposite.
Oh, it's going to add, in the long run, you're so much better off if you do some of that. You don't have to do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we definitely want to let things just run their course and just play and explore. You don't want to have to work that much. It's like when I get a massage because I've been giving for so long, I have certain things that I like, but honestly, when I get on the massage table, usually I just want to tune out and just go for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to have to say, oh, could you do this now? And what about this?
Right.
You know, but sometimes it's like, yeah, I really want to work that way because there are certain things that I really need done. You know?
Yeah, that's a good, good analogy because when somebody's giving you a massage and they're massaging, you know, like a part of your back where you don't really need it to be massaged, it doesn't feel good, but there's another part of your back where you're like, I really want you to massage the left side, and you speak up about it, you're vocal about it.
Right. And we should talk a little bit about that, you know, giving feedback when something's happening in a sexual encounter that's not working for you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you let your partner know? And this is really hard for some people.
It's hard,
especially women who are taught to be sweet and nice, mm-hmm. and they're sensitive to their lover's
feelings,
you know, feelings and ego, you know.
Totally.
And so it's really important to learn the art of giving feedback. And I often say it's, you know, let's say your lover is going down on you and it's just too much pressure, too much intensity on your clitoris.
Mm.
Maybe don't just go, hey, whoa, buddy, whoa, back off.
Right.
You know, that'd be kind of like, whoa.
It might be sort of off-putting and scary for him.
Right. And mm-hmm. he may not want to go back there, you know, for a while. But if you say, God, I really love that you're willing to go down on me and, I really, really like the wetness of your mouth. It feels so good. I think I could, you know, I really need a little less pressure though on my clitoris, or I need you to, you know, spread out, you know, mm-hmm. move your tongue around more, maybe a little bit. And then, you know, when they change it, oh, that feels good. Oh, that's perfect. Oh, that's, mm-hmm. yeah, that's it right there.
So you kind of make you first say something nice.
Right.
And then you say, this is how it could be a little bit better.
Right.
And then you reward that by with a lot of
Right, right. You don't necessarily, you know, and every relationship is different. And if you've been together for a while, you know, and your partner's like, you know, you don't have to say the nice thing. Just let me know if I need to change something, you know.
Well, if the nice thing is true, it's not so bad to hear
it. That's true. And it usually is true because otherwise, right. You know, you would just say, yeah, I'm not in the mood for this right now.
Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I'm going to give a personal anecdote. I don't know why I'm doing this, but once I wasn't sure how to communicate my feelings and it kind of pent up too long. Mm-hmm. And the person just was hurting me over and over and over and I couldn't say anything. And so finally I just snapped and I accidentally hit him in the head.
Oh no.
Totally. Oh, no. Like he'd just been biting me. He was following my instructions because I said, well, I like being bitten a little bit.
Oh.
You know, and he's like, oh yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to try to be feisty. And so he's biting me. And I just couldn't say anything because I was 20 and shy.
Oh.
And I just slapped him in the top of the head.
Oh no.
So you really want to say early and often what's going on for you.
Right.
You know,
and
so
that's
you
a skill.
Smack someone.
And don't, you know, don't beat yourself up too much. If you know, it takes a while to, this is a skill that takes a while to develop too, because we're not raised in a culture that's, you know, well, first of all, that talks about sex at all, you know, and then also about how to get our needs met. You know, we're learning about how to get our needs met, you know, and communicate that. So.
Mm-hmm. So I also want to talk about you deserve a hand.
Mm-hmm.
Manual paths to orgasm with a lover. Because, I mean, sometimes we think of like sex is always tab A and slot B, when really so much of sex could be so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hey, what a great way to prevent the spread of, you know, STIs, sexually transmitted infections.
Oh,
you can't
get
pregnant from manual sex.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they were teaching about manual sex in abstinence only education. Why don't they?
I know. They should.
They should.
They should. Mm.
I have some strong feelings about this topic.
What about it?
I think a lot of guys agree with me. You're talking about like if I'm with a chick, us manually stimulating each other, me manually stimulating her manually stimulating me.
Uh-huh.
Well, see, my thing about that is like I feel like I'm an expert at beating myself off, and that anything a girl is gonna do is gonna fall short. And there's a lot of guys who feel this way. That if I want a hand job, I'll do it myself. And I know the right amount of pressure to give myself, the right speed. And usually when a girl does it, it doesn't feel that great. I mean, I'll take it if that's the only thing I can get from her. But if I'm going to be intimate with if she's willing to give me a hand job, she's probably willing to go down on me and give me a blowjob and or if not,
that's
give me...
That's something you can't do for yourself.
Give me the...
what if she isn't, though?
Give me the vagina. Well, that's what I'm saying. If that's all that's available...
Your mouth is tired and you're like, okay, I've done this, I've done that. You know, we tried this. Can we just kind of go back to something that's not going to hurt me at all?
Well,
that's nice.
After all that other stuff is done, then me being a guy, the pig that I am, is done. You know what I mean?
I'm not going to let you get away with that. You are not a pig because you're a guy. You take that language back.
Right. I take it back.
Sexist generalization.
I take it back. But what I'm saying is if we've already had sex, then I'm not going to go, okay, let's manually stimulate each other. I'm going to be, well, I hate to admit it, but selfish and just be... Go watch
SportsCenter.
Well,
what if she didn't come or something?
Then I'll go down on her.
Yeah.
Or I'll manually stimulate her. But I don't need her to manually stimulate me after we've had sex. Like I said, if that's the only thing that's available to me, if that's all she's willing to do, you know, then I'll take that. But I could do 10 times better job than she can at beating myself off.
We're in the territory now of what I call arousal maps. So different things work for different people. And so that's fine. You know, it's just, you just communicate what it is that works for you and what doesn't. And I would also, you know, suggest that, you know, there could be something to finding the right woman or teaching a woman how to stimulate you with her hand in a way that lets you surrender, you know, because there's some way that when somebody else is doing it for you, you don't know what's coming next.
Mm.
And so there is that element of like surprise.
Yeah.
And if she really does have technique, and you probably just, you've been doing it your whole life, so you have the technique. But there are some women who've had a lot of experience who can be really sensitive and tuned in, that they might be able to give you a ride that you couldn't give yourself because you can just completely surrender to the unknown of what's going to happen.
Mm.
You know,
amen, Amy.
Amen.
Preach on.
But, you know, I understand if you're with someone and what they're doing really isn't working for you and it's not really, you know, you'd rather do it yourself and there's other things you'd rather do with this person, then and fine. It's, you know, you negotiate what's going to work with this person. Yeah. So, yeah, that's totally fine.
We're talking with Dr. Amy Cooper of the Everything Orgasm book. I love your work. You call it Love Your Sex Life.
Right.
So loveyoursexlife.com. So this is all about just like being with yourself where you are and finding ways to love it more.
Right. Exactly. And finding, I work with people to find what their edge is, like where is the next step that's going to take them to more arousal, more pleasure, you know, because we often get kind of stuck in our little patterns and ruts, and everybody has an edge somewhere, and it's a different place for everyone.
Autoerotic asphyxiation. Did I say that right?
Breath play.
Oh.
You don't know what, you know.
Yeah,
what
yeah. Oh, yeah, I know what that is, right. Yeah. Yeah,
that's his edge. That's, is that your edge?
It was a bad joke. Apparently, nobody got it in the room. But
oh no,
I mean, that's some people's edge.
Yeah,
some people.
Well, okay,
choke themselves out.
And, yeah. Well, that's a, there are a lot of other factors that come into play there. That's
right.
Yeah, and you know when it comes to using any,
but we're talking about your own edge, not like the edge. Because I mean that's kind of the edge, like teetering on the brink of consciousness. We're talking about one's own edge, in that something that you're not usually doing. Like for instance, I get stuck in the rut of always wanting to play with my own clitoris. Like I know how to do that better.
That's awesome, because you know what? There's been a number of girls who I've had sex with who are afraid to do that and don't want to do that. When I think that is what they need to do or should do to bring themselves to orgasm, and then they always wonder why they can't bring themselves to why I'm not
really
getting
important
them to orgasm.
Yeah, right. It's important to play with your own clitoris if you are having trouble getting an orgasm. It will help you,
and I appreciate it when girls do that. It's sexy.
You know, I would really recommend being like, you know, it is so high. Love, it's so hot watching you play with your own clitoris. Like, really reinforce that. Mm-hmm. Because if I hadn't had partners when I was about 20 who had said that to me over and over and over again, I would have felt really self-conscious about doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's the only way that I ever started having orgasms during sex.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I used to bang this chick for a long time. And she was a nympho, not only in the sense that she wanted to have sex all the time, but also when we had sex, she wanted to go on forever. Mm-hmm. And I'm good for, I'm not a minute man, but I can't last that long. I'm good for 15, 20 minutes, but anything beyond that, I don't know, I start getting tired and disinterested, which I should really work on myself.
You actually do lose some sensation, I think, as a man, keeping going, going. You lose sensation, right?
Right, right.
But she never, ever stimulated her clitoris while we were having sex, and I didn't think of it to even mention it to her, and this was when I was younger or whatever, but she could never attain an orgasm. And there's some women who just are not capable of attaining orgasm. There's a percentage of women who
are
not.
It's very, very rare. You'd have to have something physiological wrong with your nervous system, basically. And no, they're mostly, any woman who has a clitoris, and even women who have had clitoridectomies can have, some have reported to have orgasms. And that's because they haven't actually removed all the tissue.
So you're saying most women, if not but almost every woman,
it's
should be
very,
able to obtain an orgasm.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
unless
that, and you can have an orgasm asleep. So it's a psychological event. It's not necessarily a physiological event.
Yeah. And one of the things is that, I think this may have a really big role, is that a lot of women are afraid of surrendering, for one, and what they might look like.
That's true.
What kinds of expressions, it's the release, and they just haven't found their path there. And so that's why I recommend self-pleasuring, is find your own path there by yourself in the safety and container of your own space, and explore that with yourself first before you try and have one with a lover, because that can be a lot more challenging for the relationship piece.
Well, Dr. Amy Cooper, I hope we get to have you on the program again.
Oh,
I'm
I'll come
really
back for
looking
sure.
forward to exploring your book more.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
And we do have to make way for Antithesis Radio coming on at 10 o'clock.
All right.
People can find you at loveyoursexlife.com.
That's right.
Dr. Amy Cooper, the Everything Orgasm book.
Yes.
Thank
you. Yum.